The text for our meditation is taken from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the 7th verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. To picture the Almighty God of the universe as a lamb seems maybe a little contradictory, doesn't it? After all, lambs aren't really all that impressive. They're not noble, they're not powerful. Lambs are small creatures, they're unimpressive, they're easily overlooked. Lambs need to be led everywhere, they're not all that creative. Lambs really aren't known for their bravery, they'd much rather run from a fight than be in one. So why does Scripture, including this verse before us, depict Jesus, God himself, the second person of the Trinity, as a lamb, and especially as one that doesn't do anything, much less speak up for himself? For God's Old Testament people, the idea of a lamb being slaughtered, being killed, was not in and of itself extraordinary. They raised sheep for their wool and for their meat. But in the context of this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it's clear that the sacrifice, the slaughter of this particular lamb, was extraordinary. For Isaiah's first readers, the picture that would have come into their mind was the slaughter, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, that once a year sacrifice, the blood of whom had originally saved God's Old Testament people from the angel of death. And just as that yearly sacrifice was necessary for God's Old Testament people, so also the sacrifice of the Lamb of God is necessary for us. What Isaiah concentrates on then in this verse is how Jesus, the Lamb of God, did not object to being sacrificed for our sins. That is, Jesus' silence means your salvation. Now, to say, as it does at the beginning of this verse, that Jesus was oppressed and afflicted is really an understatement. We know all of the sufferings that Jesus went through during his passion, the arrest, the brutal beatings, the mocking, the taunts, the flogging, being made to carry his own cross, the crucifixion itself, one of the most cruel ways ever devised of executing criminals. And yet, that's only the physical suffering that Jesus went through. As Jesus hung on the cross, he also endured hell, complete and utter separation from God the Father, being absolutely forsaken by God. And that suffering of hell was much worse than any of the physical suffering that Jesus had to endure. But Jesus did not object to anything he had to suffer. Yes, Jesus spoke when he was before the high priest, but only to clarify who he was, that he was the Christ, and what eventually was going to happen to him, that he would be exalted. Yes, Jesus spoke when he was before Pilate, but only to agree with Pilate that he was indeed the king of the Jews. But Jesus remained silent when accusations were made against him. When two men came before the high priest and the elders and made false accusations against Jesus, Jesus said nothing. When the chief priests and the elders took their accusations to Pilate about Jesus, Jesus said nothing to defend himself. When Pilate sentenced him to die, Jesus said nothing to defend himself. When the Roman soldiers were nailing Jesus to the cross, Jesus said and did nothing to defend himself. Now, it wasn't as if he couldn't have. Jesus was God, and as God, he had every right to strike out against his accusers. He could have obliterated them from the face of the earth, sent them straight to hell. And maybe we would have written it that way if we had been writing that script. We would have had Jesus come out as the conqueror, the one who was vanquishing his enemies. But maybe that's a good illustration of how we're just as deserving of such horrendous punishment because of our sins. We're not nearly as merciful and forgiving as Jesus is. When someone hurts us, we hurt them right back. If someone wrongs us, we want revenge. If someone verbally abuses us, we zing them right back. We're no better than those who tortured and executed Jesus. In fact, our sins put Jesus on the cross just as much as theirs. Jesus should break his silence in our case, you see. And as God, he has the right to tell us, "You have sinned against me. You have sinned against me every day in every way imaginable. You deserve to die. You deserve for me to send you to hell." So why doesn't he? Well, why didn't Jesus speak up when he was being falsely accused? Why didn't he defend himself instead of allowing himself to be sacrificed? Well, in short, he couldn't. Again, not because he wasn't physically able, but because he had a compulsion to remain silent so that he could save us. In other words, Jesus' desire to save us from sin and death superseded everything else. In John 10, Jesus spoke about his desire to lay down his life for us. He said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Think of how Jesus showed that this was indeed his desire when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane at his betrayal. Peter had just taken out his sword and whacked off the ear of one of the servants of a high priest. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus' love for us, for sinners, trumped every other motivation. Greater love than this has no one, that someone lay down his life for his friends, Jesus said. And since Jesus, as God, is love, what better way to show that love than by laying down his life? What better way to show his love for us than by dying in our place for us? Yes, Jesus' love compelled him to remain silent, to not object to being sacrificed, so that we don't have to die for our sins. And how do we respond to such great love? How can we help but not share that love that Jesus has for us? St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Just as much as Jesus' love for us compelled him to remain silent, his love compels us to speak. So, in our words, are we speaking of Christ's love and forgiveness so that more people may come to know their Savior? Are we using our tongues to bless and to build up instead of to curse and tear down? Are we remaining silent when others curse us, even if those curses are unjustified? And then note also how Paul is very comprehensive when he speaks of living for Jesus. In our actions, are we showing Christ's love to those around us? Are we looking for ways that we can serve others instead of looking for ways in which we can be served? Are we ignoring our own needs so that we can attend to the needs of our family and our friends? Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying these things to try to make you feel guilty, to try and tell you that you need to look at Jesus as merely your example of self-sacrificing living, an example to which you could never live up. No, Jesus' self-sacrificing life is the reason why you live a self-sacrificing life. Jesus suffered hell itself in silence so that you don't have to. His love for you is that great. Live in that love every day. Reflect that love to others. Serve others as you have been served by the suffering servant. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the true Lamb of God, you have taken away our sins and the sins of the whole world. In your love, you gave your very lifeblood for us and have made us your precious people. Give us the motivation and the opportunity to share your love with those around us so that more may come to know your love. In your love, continue to grant us your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.